This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
This is Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio. You're with Louise Taffer and George Denikian. And George, it's great to have your company in the studio with me. Of course, if anyone wants to get involved at any time, they can give us a call on 03 99 44 99 99. Of course, we are giving away a double pass to the
Derby.
Melbourne Derby.
Yep.
And on that note, George, we are joined by former Socceroo and Melbourne Victory's General Manager of Football, Paul Trimboli. Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Pleasure, guys.
Very busy time of the year. It's been a really long, super long pre-season. I bet, though, right now you're probably thinking to yourself, I need a couple of extra days.
You're absolutely right, George. It's incredible. We have this 15-week pre-season, and all of a sudden you're scrambling around with 48 hours to go. But it gets the adrenaline going, so it's good.
Paul, the new season begins with a highly anticipated Melbourne derby. Victory fans have been salivating at the prospect of their star recruits. What's the noticeable impact since their arrival, and has it been hard fitting everyone in?
Well, the hard thing, everyone, in the problem is Kevin Muscat, so I'm glad I don't have that problem. I just have to make sure they're all eligible to play and all the paperwork's done and all the visas are done. So, Kev's got the headache on that end. But probably one of the biggest noticeable differences has been the people sort of turning up to watch us train. And as you can imagine, Keske Honda has drawn quite the level of interest, and we get people out just about every day and coming through the office finding, you know, when's Keske training. So it's incredible how much focus he's brought to the club. But I think the other thing's probably the professionalism, the way they go about it, the foreigners who have come in. They just obviously coming from an environment where it's super competitive, super professional, and just the way they prepare for training, the way they train, and it's a great example for the local players, especially the younger ones.
We're talking to Paul Trimboli, who's the General Manager of Football Operations at Melbourne Victory. And I would dare say I'm a huge baseball fan, and I know that when there's a Japanese player playing for your team, there's an inordinate number of requests from media crews from Japan. Are we getting that sort of feedback as well? Are you getting a lot of requests from the Japanese media?
Absolutely, and it's incredible because Keske Honda hasn't actually played in Japan at club level for over 10 years, and clearly he's been very successful with the national team, but the level of interest still is incredibly high, and everyone has been taking notice of what he's doing and when he's going to play his first game and what number he's wearing and all that sort of stuff, and it's amazing, even the number of letters that we're getting addressed to Keske, and people trying to, you know, they send them to all manner of, you know, Amy Park, the Etihad Stadium, any address they think they can find. Even funny enough, I got one today, and it was addressed to Simmons Stadium in Geelong. So clearly, someone saw a game where Victory was playing and thought that was our home game because we played one year there. And they sent a letter to Honda, care of Simmons Stadium, Melbourne Victory.
And the best part about this, Australia Post would be feeling pretty chuffed right now because apparently it's got through. So wherever they've posted it, you've got it. So that's the best part. But Tim, quite seriously. Everyone complains about this super long pre-season in Australia for the A-League. But do you see a positive? Does it actually give you a bit of extra time to get these players from the disparate leagues that they come from together, to get them more acclimatised and to, as they say, get the paperwork ready and make sure that when the time comes, opening game of the season, in this case a derby, that everything is as you would like it to be?
Absolutely. I think that is one of the real upsides. I think the other thing that we probably don't realise also is a lot of the players who come to the A-League, they're probably in situations where they may be looking at different opportunities around the world, whether it's in Europe or South America, and there's different transfer windows that are shutting all the time. So a lot of the time you sort of get to the end of July, and then with windows shutting across Europe or end of August, then all of a sudden opportunities arise because players maybe haven't found the home they wanted to, or are willing to then look a little bit further or, you know, abroad and look at other opportunities. So having the season start when it does gives us an opportunity to tap into that market as well, which is good.
And Paul, Obviously, there's a lot of people listening. So what number is Honda?
Kez Gale will be wearing number four.
Number four.
And it's an odd one, really, when he plays so high up the park. It's not a traditional number for a sort of attacking midfield forward player. But he wore that with the Japanese national team, and he's quite fond of it.
Okay, technical question now for the general manager at Melbourne Victory. Roof open or roof closed Saturday night? What's the policy at this brand-new Marvel Stadium?
But that's a good question, George. Our preference and what the football department, our policy is always we prefer to play with the roof open. We prefer the natural conditions. We think it's just a sort of much more natural feel. But I think in terms of spectator comfort, the final decision comes down to the weather forecast within that sort of two-hour period before the game as to whether they shut the roof or not. But our starting position is always have it open.
And Paul, how many people are you expecting on Saturday night?
Yeah, we're pretty hopeful, actually. Pre-sales have been very good. Membership's very good. I think with the two teams coming together at this sort of time of the season, people have been sort of waiting and waiting for a game of football. And with all the new players on display, you know, we're hoping to get 40,000 plus.
I was just going to say, you mentioned Honda. He's had an inordinate number of matches and derbies in throughout his career. But the one thing he is surprised about, and I think he's mentioned it, he never imagined he would play a derby opening game of the season.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I think it's been debated a lot, actually, about whether it's a good time to have the derby or not. I think, in a way, because we do have the three for the season, it does work in the sense that we can spread them out. I'm a little bit of the thought that I'd like to see the sort of season start to unfold a little bit and sort of get some storylines going as to whether one team's doing well, one's not, who's under pressure, who's shining. And it's a little bit hard, you know, when there's no real exposed form at this time of year. So, yeah, it is an interesting one. I can see his point there.
Yeah, no, fantastic stuff. Listen, it augurs well. The vibe has been getting stronger and stronger and stronger. We had a lot of people talking about, you know, the governance of the game, but we're just, we're 24 hours away from actually starting a brand new A-League season, and already I can sense, and from the responses we're getting almost every day, people are ready for the A-League season, and it promises to be an absolute beauty. And the opening game, as far as you and Melbourne City are concerned, it looks like it's going to be a cracker. Both sides appear to be as fit as they can be, and it'll be all guns blazing, and more importantly, all 3 points up there for grabs.
Absolutely, and we had a training session out at Marvel Stadium this morning, and that's our first sort of look at the pitch, and that always really brings it home that the season's within sort of 48 hours of starting, and you see the boys, they get out there, and they've got that little bit of extra energy, and just to look around at the stands, and imagine, you know, it's going to be a full house on Saturday night, and the pitch was in great condition, and yeah, it was very exciting.
Before I let you go, I've got you mentioned the word boys. I'm going to take you back to the mid-80s when you were in the Australian the under-16s, and you were picked to play in the inaugural World Cup in, I think it was Japan, was it?
China, rather.
And there was a young guy also making his presence felt in that side. His name was Colin Cooper. He's going to be our pioneer tonight between 7 and 8 on Football Nation Radio. What do you remember about the man that other people call Gary Cooper, but you know better as Coops?
I had a fantastic time with Coops over a number of years, actually. We were fortunate enough to play together in a very, very strong Victorian junior representative team, and played up front with Colin, and he scored many, many goals. And that was the first time they ever had a FIFA under-17 World Cup. It was actually under-16 then. It's morphed into the under-17 tournament now. And we were the very first team to go from Australia, and we made the quarterfinals, and unluckily lost on penalty kicks to one of the African countries. But so my memories with Coops, we go back to like we're almost under 12s, I think, right through up to youth level. So no, he was a wonderful player, scored many, many goals.
Now tell me something, he puts you up there as one of his great influences. Did he give you any special things to remember when you were scoring so many, many goals for South Melbourne in the glory days?
Well, I think you always remember fondly all the successful periods you have in your life, and I think I've been very lucky. Like I said, that junior period for me with the rep teams was incredible, and Coops and I played alongside guys like George Gillespie, Mark Talaich, Anthony Gleback, Doug Hodgson, Robert Runya, all guys who sort of, played in national teams and went on to, national league careers. And we still talk fondly of that era, the trips away we had. And I remember all our dads used to come along, and it was a really, really good period in our lives.
Did you beat Argentina in that tournament?
We did indeed, yeah. We beat Argentina, we beat Germany as well. So
quite some scalps you guys managed, huh?
We did. It was very, very exciting.
Well, thank you for giving us a bit of an insight into a great character who's made a contribution both as a player and as a coach. Thank you very much for giving us a little more insight into Colin Cooper. We'll hear more from him. Thank you, Trimmers. All the very best for the weekend. May the best team win, and may the referee and VAR stay well out of it.
Thanks a lot for your support, guys, and appreciate it.
All the best. Thank you.